Chapter 6. Cooper lit up a cigarette he had bummed from Frank. Julian sat to his left. Across the table from them, Stuart, Frank, and Rhonda sat like a panel of judges. Rhonda made a show of waving the cigarette smoke out of her face.
"We're going to be together for a while," said Frank. "We might as well get to know each other. Tell me something about yourselves. What did you do back home?"
"We deliver pizzas for Papa Joe's," said Julian. "It's a local place."
Frank nodded.
"So you all work together?"
"No," said Julian. "Just me and Cooper."
"Pizza delivery, huh?" said Frank. "So, what are you, working your way through college?"
"Yes, sir," said Julian.
Frank laughed.
"You don't have to call me sir. This isn't an interrogation. We're just talking. So what school do you go to?"
"Virginia College."
"I thought you guys were from Mississippi."
"It's a chain school," said Julian. "They have a campus in Gulfport."
"You a college boy too, Goliath?"
"I dropped out of college,"
said Cooper. He looked down at his beer.
11 years ago.
He wished Julian hadn't brought up the pizza thing. It was all well and good for Julian. That's what you're supposed to do when you're in college. But when you're 30...
"And you're still delivering pizza," said Rhonda. "Your ambition inspires me."
"And your many chins inspire me."
Rhonda pointed a pudgy finger in Cooper's face.
"I'm warning you, you..."
Frank put his hand on Rhonda's and lowered it to the table.
"Take it easy, you two," he smiled at Cooper. "So tell me, is pizza delivery all I've been led to believe it is? Or have the pornos all been lying to me this whole time?"
"Huh?"
said Cooper.
"You ever make a delivery to a lonely housewife looking for some extra sausage?"
"Huh?"
said Cooper.
"No, nothing like that. Most of our clientele are fat and ugly anyway. Completely unfuckable. No offense, Rhonda."
Rhonda stood up so fast that her stool tipped over. She began muttering to herself, and her fist glowed with a bright white light. Julian scooted half a foot to the left.
"Hey, hey," said Frank. "None of that. He said no offense."
"Seriously?" said Rhonda.
"Cut him some slack. He's stupid."
"That's true,"
said Cooper in his own defense.
"I am."
The light went out from Rhonda's fist. She wagged a finger back and forth between Frank and Cooper.
"There's only so much of this I'm going to take."
She stomped off toward the corner where Stuart's wife and two elf women were playing a card game. Cooper helped himself to the unfinished portion of the beer Rhonda had left behind as he watched her go.
"Her ass is like two hippos on a seesaw."
Frank smiled and shook his head.
"You are a piece of work, my friend, but don't underestimate Rhonda. She's a very capable wizardess."
"Thanks for the warning," said Cooper. "But I don't think I could ever be afraid of someone wearing a muumuu."
"It wasn't a warning," said Frank.
The smile was gone from his face, as was the mirth from his voice. He leaned in close.
"Because she isn't your enemy. There's a big dangerous world out there that we don't belong to. Our only hope of survival is to stand alongside one another. Rhonda is someone you're going to want on your side."
"I understand,"
said Cooper meekly. Frank narrowed his eyes and nodded at Cooper.
"Good, because what I'm about to say is a warning, so listen carefully. I don't care if you two fight verbally until you're blue in the face. Hell, that's entertainment as far as I'm concerned. But I'll not tolerate violence between two of our own. We've had to throw people out of here before. Now, I like you. You make me laugh and feel like an intellectual giant. But if you ever lay one of those big meat fists on one of my people, I will kick your ugly ass to the curb. Are we of an understanding?"
"We are."
Frank's face relaxed as he sat back in his chair.
"Good. Now tell me more about..."
"They're back!"
shouted a dwarf, manning the front entrance. He opened the door just in time for Tony the Elf to hurry through, followed by Tim, Dave, Catherine's wolf, and Ravenous. Noticeably absent were Dave's she-dwarf friend, the bard dude, and Catherine. Cooper stood up.
"Where's Catherine?"
he asked Tim.
"We don't know," said Tim, "but wherever she is, she's all right for now."
"How do you know that?"
asked Julian.
"We have her character sheet."
He held up a scroll tube. Frank stood up on his table and clapped his hands twice.
"All right, everyone. That's enough excitement for one night. It's back to work in the morning. Assignments will be changed slightly, so check in before you check out. Lights out in 5.
Everyone stood up like a bunch of worker ants, removing glasses and wiping tables, moving tables and stools up against the walls of the room, spreading out bedrolls on the floor. It was choreographed as if they were all part of one organic machine. Within minutes, the room was transformed from a pub to something that looked like kindergarten nap time.
Work?
Asked Cooper.
Sure, said Frank, hopping down onto his stool, then onto the floor. We've got to make a living just like anyone. And if we ever hope to get magicked out of this place, it's probably going to cost some serious coin. Naturally, I'll allow Frodo to take a partner and go search for his sister, but the rest of you are going to have to find some way to make yourselves useful. Did any of you spend any skill points on a profession?
Tim, Dave, Cooper, and Julian looked at one another in uncomfortable silence.
Of course not, said Frank. Nobody ever does. That's okay. We've got other alternative ways of making money.
He pointed up at Cooper.
You'll be perfect for werewolf duty.
You know I'm only a level 2, right?
Ha! Trust me, big guy. Now you fellas get some sleep.
What's that for? Asked Julian, pointing to a corner of the room that hadn't been cleared of tables and stools.
That's for you, friend, said Frank.
For me?
It's for the elves. You guys don't sleep. You just zone out for a couple of hours. So that's a place for you guys to hang out while the rest of us sleep. It works out well for everyone. You guys don't get bored, and we don't have to worry about keeping watch. Just don't all zone out at the same time and try to keep the chatter to a reasonable volume.
Julian nodded his head. Impressive. I could get used to this place.
Don't, said Tim. We're going to find Catherine and then find a way home.
He held up Catherine's character sheet.
Would you and the other elves mind keeping an eye on this?
Julian took the paper.
Sure thing.
Wake me up if there's any change in her condition.
You got it.